إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، قال شيخ الإسلام الإمام المجدد محمد بن عبد الوهاب رحمه الله تعالى في كتاب التوحيد: باب قول الله تعالى: إنك لا تهدي من أحببت. I welcome all of you in our classes in كتاب التوحيد, studying the book of كتاب التوحيد, in which now we're in chapter number 18. Number 18, in which the Shaykh, Al-Imam Al-Mujaddid, Shaykh Al-Islam Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, bab, a chapter, and he mentioned an ayah in Surah Al-Qasas, إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتْ. Verily, you, O Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, guide not whom you love or you like. الشرح لفضيلة الشيخ الوالد الدكتور صالح الفوزان حفظه الله تعالى قال: وتمام الآية: ولكن الله يهدي من يشاء وهو أعلم بالمهتدين. شيخ الفوزان, he brought the rest of the ayah 56 in Surah Al-Qasas. Allah guides whom he wills, but Allah guides whom he wills, and he knows best those who are the guided. So the whole ayah, إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتُ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَهُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِالْمُهْتَدِينَ. Verily, you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, guide not whom you like, whom you love, but Allah guides whom He wills. And He, subhanahu wa ta'ala, knows best those who are the guided ones. مناسبة الباب لكتاب التوحيد. First we'll read to you the relevance of this chapter in كتاب التوحيد. يقول الشيخ صالح الفوزان حفظه الله أن فيه الرد على عباد القبور الذين يعتقدون في الأنبياء والصالحين النفع والضر. The reason the Shaykh محمد عبد الوهاب رحمه وتعالى introduced this chapter in كتاب التوحيد, because in this chapter the Shaykh refutes the grave worshippers, those who worship graves, by believing, having belief that prophets and the righteous, after their death, they still benefit people or repel harm. And we learned from previous chapter that's only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The dead cannot benefit anybody. I cannot repel harm from anyone. وذلك أنه إذا كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قد حرص على هداية عمه في حياته فلم يتيسر له ودعا له بعد موته فنهي عن ذلك. And what makes this clear is that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, in his life, when he was alive, he was diligent. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he called his uncle Abu Talib to Islam. He was so diligent for the guidance of his uncle to Islam, but it didn't happen. His uncle did not enter into Islam, as inshallah ta'ala the second proof is about this. ودعا له بعد موته فنهي عن ذلك. Look, in the when Abu Talib was alive, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam constantly called him to Islam, invite him to Islam. And when Abu Talib died, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made dua for him, but Allah forbade the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from making dua for his uncle who died upon shirk. وذكر سبحانه أن الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يقدر على هداية من أحب. And here in this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala telling us that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not able to guide whom he will, whom he likes. It's not up to him to guide whom he likes to Islam. Rather, he doesn't have the ability to do so. فَهَذَا يَدُلُّ عَلَىٰ أَنَّهُ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ وَسَلَّمْ لَا يَمْلِكُ دَرًّا وَلَا نَفْعًا. And so therefore this is a proof that the Prophet ﷺ does not possess any ability or a power to benefit certain people or to repel harm from others. فَبَطُلَ التَّعَلُّقُ بِهِ لِجَلْبِ النَّفْعِ وَدَفْعِ الدَّرِّ وَغَيْرُهُ مِنْ بَابٍ أَوْلَىٰ. So therefore it is void for someone to attach themselves and their hearts to the Prophet ﷺ in a way that he ﷺ will bring them benefit and will repel harm from them. This is not right. This is not the correct belief. The one who brings benefit is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the one who is able to repel all harms is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. So now, if this is the case of the Messenger of Allah ﷺ, the best of mankind, so what about those who are lesser than him? If it's haram and forbidden to believe that the Prophet ﷺ will benefit you or bring you benefit or repel harm from you, so what about those who are lesser than him? Okay, so it's very important. Na'am, we benefit from the Prophet ﷺ by following his sunnah. That's how we benefit. I want to say this because we don't want people to be confused and say there's no benefit from the Prophet ﷺ at all. No, there is the greatest benefit by following his sunnah. There is not a good that you enjoy, that we enjoy in this life and in hereafter, except that it comes through him, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He's the one who brought this message of Islam to us from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is how we benefit ourselves, by adhering to his sunnah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is how we avoid harm, by staying away from the things that the Prophet ﷺ tells us to stay away from. But it's not permissible to call upon him, Ya Rasulallah, O Rasulallah, help me out. O Rasulallah, give me children. O Rasulallah, give me a better job. O Rasulallah, this and that, cure me, cure my mother, my father. Or, O Rasulallah, I'm going through some hardship, get me out of it. No. This is a ibadah, dua, only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-ma'na al-ijmali, yaqulu al-shaykh, hafidhahu Allah, yaqulu ta'ala li rasulihi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, innaka la taqdiru ala tawfiqi man tuhibbu dukhulahu fil islam. وذلك ولكن ذلك إنما يكون بيد الله سبحانه وتعالى فهو الذي يوفق من شاء له وهو أعلم بمن يستحقه ممن لا يستحقه. The general meaning of this verse, our Shaykh الدكتور صالح الفوزان حفظه الله تعالى said in this ayah 56 in Surah Al-Qasas, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala telling to his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, saying, but addressing the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you are not able to make successful whom you love to enter into Islam. It's not up to you. This is not for you to make someone successful, meaning to accept Islam and to enter to Islam and to be a Muslim. Rather, this is only in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He alone subhanahu wa ta'ala guides whom he will and makes successful whom he will to enter into Islam. Because Allah alone subhanahu wa ta'ala knows amongst his servants who deserves to be to enter Islam and who's not. And from this there is al-hidayah naw'an. Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan, Hafidhahu Ta'ala, he mentioned now Hidayat al-Tawfiq, but also from here, we need to know that al-Hidayah naw'an, guidance is of two types. Hidayat al-Dilalati wal-Bayan, وَهِدَايَةُ التَّوْفِيقُ لِلْإِسْلَامِ. The first type of guidance is the guidance of دِلَالَ وَبَيَانٍ, to show the people the right path, to invite them to Islam, talk to them about the good. And this is what the Prophet ﷺ did. And this is the role for the ulama that came after the Prophet ﷺ. And anyone who has knowledge of something, he knows it, the ulama, he says, he can call to it. Not calling out of ignorance like Jama'at al-Tabligh and others. They just pack a van and let's go call to Islam. They need to learn first. So this is for the prophets and the messengers alayhim as-salatu wa-salam. For the prophets and the messengers alayhim as-salatu wa-salam. And then after the prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then the companions took on this great responsibility by disseminating knowledge and the religion amongst the people. And the Prophet ﷺ, he says, وَالْعُلَمَاءُ وَرَثَةُ الْأَنْبِيَاءُ, that the scholars of Islam, they are the heirs and the inheritors of the Prophet. So this type of guidance, a person can call somebody to Islam by learning about Tawheed, calling to Tawheed. And therefore, the second type of guidance, Hidayat al-Tawfiqi lil-Islam, to be guided to Islam. Not everyone that you talk to, they accept Islam immediately. There are certain people you talk to them, and alhamdulillah, Allah opened their hearts to Islam and they accept it. There are certain people you can't talk to them for years. They're not hearing it. Tayyib. That's why we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in here he said, إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي لَا, you do not guide. But in another ayah in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَإِنَّكَ لَتَهْدِي إِلَى صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ, truly you, Muhammad, you guide. See? Now in the first ayah, you do not guide. In this one it says, you certainly guide. There is no contradictions in the book of Allah. This is how you understand. In the first ayah, you do not guide, meaning you do not make successful. You do not make people enter into Islam. That's only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The other ayah says, you certainly guide, you certainly invite, teach, call the people, make things clear to them. As for they accept or not, that's not up to you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. لَيْسَ عَلَيْكَ هُدَاهُمْ, it's not up to you whether they are guided or not. That's only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ثُمَّ قَالَ مُنَاسَبَةُ الْآيَةِ لِلْبَابِ, أَنَّ فِيهَا دِلَالَةً وَاضِحَةً عَلَى أَنَّ الرَّسُولَ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ لَا يَمْلِكُ ضَرًّا وَلَا نَفْعًا وَلَا عَطَاءً وَلَا مَنْعًا وَأَنَّ الْأَمْرَ كُلَّهُ بِيَدِ اللَّهِ فَفِيهَا الرَّدُّ عَلَى الَّذِينَ يُنَادُونَهُ لتفريج الكروبات وقضاء الحاجات. Then the Sheikh Saleh al-Fawzan mentioned the reason behind which the Sheikh al-Islam Muhammad Abdul Wahhab chose this ayah as a proof in this chapter. He says that is because it is a clear proof. This ayah is a clear proof that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam does not possess any power or ability to repel harm or to bring benefits. He doesn't give to certain people anything or take away from others anything, because the affairs is in Allah's hand. All of the affairs in Allah's hands. So therefore this ayah is a clear refutation against those who call upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Those who call upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say, Ya Nabi Allah, O Messenger of Allah, They call upon him in times of hardship and difficulty to get him out of that hardship. While also some of them or other than them call upon the Prophet ﷺ to bring them benefits and to assist them to make their lives better. And this is only for the Prophet ﷺ. This is not for the Prophet ﷺ to do and to assist, but it's only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the people, the mushrikeen, some of them call upon trees, some call upon the sun, the moon, the angels, the jinn, wal-iyadu billah, and yes, some call upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Some call upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Tayyib. So the Prophet ﷺ, he himself, and he's the best of mankind. He's the best of mankind, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And still, you cannot call upon him. Can't say, "Oh, Messenger of Allah, help me." When he was alive, yes, people who were there, they go to him and ask him to help them. And if he has the ability to help, he helped them. People come and say, "Oh, Messenger of Allah, we have no food. We're really hungry." And this, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if he has something in his house, he give it to them. If he doesn't, he will invite the people. "Ikhwan, we have your brothers in here; they're in need." Okay. Whoever can give something, and the people they give. That's how the Prophet ﷺ. It's not and when the people come to him and ask him something that is only for Allah, the Prophet ﷺ correct them. When the hadith it says, "Ma sha Allah wa sha Muhammad, whatever Allah will and Muhammad will." The Prophet ﷺ says, "La. Whatever Allah will alone, He alone governs this universe. No one share anything with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." So even the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam does not have any right of any type of worship to be devoted to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because calling upon a du'a, istighatha, and this is du'a, and this is acts of ibadah, has to be only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ما يستفاد من الآية. Some of the benefits of this verse. أولا الرد على الذين يعتقدون أن الأولياء ينفعون أو يضرون ويتصرفون بعد الموت على سبيل الكرامة. This ayah is a refutation against those who believe that awliya, the righteous people who died. Naam, alhamdulillah, there is awliya, no doubt. There is awliya of Allah. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Ala inna awliya Allah la khawfun alayhim wa lahum yahzanun alladhina amanu wa kanu yattaqun." Anyone who is a true believer and pious, so he's from awliya Allah. Awliya Allah. You don't need to know them. They don't have characteristics. They wear red, or they wear white, or they wear a long ghutra, No. Or they had to be this or that. No, they may be, subhanAllah. You don't know who. But Allah knows who they are. But if they die, that's it. MashaAllah, they died. That's it. If they leave anything behind them, knowledge, we can benefit from it. They left a book, we benefit from that book. They left knowledge, we benefit from that knowledge. But to call upon them and go to their grave, "Oh, so and so, help me out," that's shirk. See, that's shirk. So this ayah is a clear refutation against those who believe that this awliya benefit them, bring them benefit, or repel harms, or that they have any affairs in this universe after their death. Even when they're alive, they couldn't do anything without Allah's leave and permission. So what about after their death? They can't do anything. But those who do this, those who call upon them, they're like, "No, look, listen, they are special people. They are not anybody, you know. These are the awliya. Yeah. See, that's what the shaitan give them. They say, we're not calling upon anybody who died. It's, the graveyard is filled with other people. We don't call upon them. But this person here is special. This wali is who's righteous. We says, no, that's not permissible. Number two, أن هداية التوفيق بيد الله سبحانه وتعالى. To be successful, to enter Islam, this type of guidance is only in Allah's hands. Nobody's hands. It's in no one's hands. No one has the ability to make someone Muslim. You don't make somebody Muslim. You didn't even make yourself a Muslim. Has not been for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who guided us to Islam, and we thank Allah for this great ni'mah. And this teach us a lot. So if you are calling someone from your family or someone you are calling them to Islam, be patient. Because that's what you're supposed to do. So don't be frustrated because they don't become Muslim. Don't say at times, look, I'm not talking for 2 weeks, man. If they don't get it, I'm done. No, it's not up to you. 2 weeks. You call them until you die or they die. That's it. And Allah, He alone guides. And those people, they shouldn't be guided at your hand. Like one brother, he was mad once. He was a little bit miffed, you know, because he says his father or somebody, one of his family, he was calling them for years to Islam. But then they went and, I don't know, they met somebody else somewhere, another Muslim, and talked to them a little bit, and they became Muslim. And the son, he was mad. He's like, I was working all these years, man. So you give it to somebody else. Allah guides whom He will to Islam. And by you doing that and calling to Islam, you're rewarded by Allah. A great reward. So why you stop it after 2 weeks? Can you imagine if somebody tell you, look, man, you got some skills, alhamdulillah, you have some patience, whatever. I can't talk to my father about Islam. Would you be talk to him? I give you $500 a day. Just by talking to him, he's gonna call you names, he's gonna try to fight you. I don't know when that moment. Allah only knows if my father is gonna be guided tomorrow or next month or next year or next 10 years if he's still alive. Look, man, I got money. I got a lot of money. I'm willing to give you $500 if you can come and spend 1 hour with my father, man, every day. What would you do if you need money? Of course, we should do it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All right? But we're just giving an example. All right, after 2 weeks, you quit. Why? Then the man says, he didn't show up today. I quit. What happened? Two weeks is too much. If he didn't accept Islam in 2 weeks, he ain't never going to accept Islam. Is somebody in his right mind say this? No, he don't say this. And especially now, if he quit, he's not getting paid. Ya akhwan, when you call somebody, but you have to do it the right way. You have to have knowledge first. If you don't have no knowledge, don't talk. Say Allahu A'lam. Sometimes even somebody from your family or somebody, a co-worker or colleague or somebody work for you or somebody you work for him or somebody you have a business, somebody come to your store. Or you may go to someone's business and you look a Muslim and he's like, hey, come here. And they may ask you a question because they've been working. Some people, they travel to Muslim countries and they see things. Some of them, they were in the Marines and they were I don't know where and they spend a lot of time in those countries. And then they have questions. See, they ask, they say, you're a Muslim, right? Yes, I have a couple of questions for you. He says, okay, I'm willing to listen. So when he or she asks that question, if you don't know the answer, it is from knowledge to say, I don't know. And yet still you're teaching them something very important about our religion, that we don't talk about anything. It's not like, oh yeah, this and this. And even if they say, well, are you sure you're Muslim? Yes, alhamdulillah. But you don't know? Yes, I don't know. You want me to give you anything? Oh, no, no. Well, this is our religion. Religion is based on knowledge. Not everybody speak on religion. This is the case, you know. If other people are doing it in whatever they do, not in Islam.
So at least in that you're teaching that person, wow. And that may be the thing that triggered him. It's like, well, this is what I'm looking for. All of these things, anybody can speak, anybody can say whatever he wants to say. This is the religion that nobody speaks about it except if they have knowledge of what Allah, the Almighty, said and the one he has chosen to convey this message, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Listen, man, that sounds good, man. This is strong. Knowledge, everybody knows the importance of knowledge. Okay? That's why if you have a doctor in the building and trim and mechanics, electricians, and then somebody fainted, who's going to be talking now? And who's going to be try to help him? The mechanic? And he says, no, I broke down so many engines. This is not an engine, this is a human being. Electrician says, man, oh no, I'm good at wires. You're good at wires, man. We're not talking about a building. This is a human being. So the doctor will come and deal with him. Likewise, a doctor, he's good at what he does, but he may not be able to change the oil. He cannot even conduct the oil change in his car. Right or wrong? Same thing. So you tell the people, listen, man, if you ask me something, I know I'll be happy to share with you. If not, Allahu a'lam. طيب. قال نعم أن هداية التوفيق بيد الله سبحانه وتعالى. So this type of guidance of success is only in Allah's hands, سبحانه وتعالى. Number three, إثبات العلم لله سبحانه وتعالى. Also this ayah establish and affirm knowledge for Allah سبحانه وتعالى. Number four, إثبات الحكمة لله سبحانه وتعالى. Likewise, this ayah affirm حكمة for Allah سبحانه وتعالى. Number five, إبطال التعلق بغير الله سبحانه وتعالى. That is strictly forbidden to attach one heart with other than Allah سبحانه وتعالى. You don't attach your heart to an angel or the moon or the sun or a tree or a stone or a grave or prophet or a messenger or any human being or any of the creation. Your heart should be attached to Allah. So He alone, subhanahu wa ta'ala, you call upon, you turn to. He alone, subhanahu wa ta'ala, you should believe with no doubt, meaning with certainty that He alone, subhanahu wa ta'ala, bring benefits. You want this job, you want your provisions, you want married, you want children, you want this, you want health. You turn to Allah and you follow the means. You take the means that are legislated. Somebody wants a job. You don't stay home and say, oh Allah, give me a job. No, you take the means. Go and apply for a job. Somebody wants children, you get married. And then just because he's married, automatically got to get children. No. But he turned to Allah and he said, oh Allah, grant me the righteous offspring. Likewise, you want to go and want to invest some money, you're going to do some researches, you're going to study the market. You're not just going to go and buy anything. And whatever the people are buying, you go and buy. Now you do your homework, like we say. And you get up early and you be consistent and you go to the market every day. And then you ask Allah. You stay in home and, oh, okay, Allah, I'm going to get a spot in the market like that. Now you go there and apply for it and be consistent. But then in the same time, don't think like just because of your skills. No. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant that. Naam. قال الشيخ وفي الصحيح عن ابن مسيب عن أبيه قال لما حضرت أبا طالب الوفاة جاء رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وعنده عبد الله بن أبي أمية وأبو جهل فقال له يا عم قل لا إله إلا الله كلمة أحاج لك بها عند الله فقال له أترغب عن ملة عبد المطلب فقال له أترغب عن ملة عبد المطلب فأعاد عليه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فأعاد فكان آخر ما قال هو على ملة عبد المطلب وأبى أن يقول لا إله إلا الله فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لأستغفرن لك ما لم أنه عنك فأنزل الله عز وجل ما كان للنبي والذين آمنوا أن يستغفروا للمشركين ولو كانوا أولي قربى وأنزل الله في أبي طالب إنك لا تهدي من أحببت ولكن الله يهدي من يشاء وهو أعلم بالمهتدين. في الصحيح أي صحيح البخاري. In صحيح البخاري Ibn al-Musayyib has reported from his father, and Ibn al-Musayyib is Sa'id, Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib, the great alim. Ibn al-Musayyib reported from his father, when death approached Abu Talib, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to him, and that's his uncle. Abu Talib was the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he did a lot of good for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He raised him, took care of him, defend him against the mushrikeen, even though he was a mushrik. But Abu Talib went through a lot of hardship, not allowing the mushrikeen to harm the Prophet ﷺ. So when that approached Abu Talib, our beloved Messenger ﷺ came to him to talk to him, or to visit him. And this is another virtue and benefit that is permissible to visit family members and other people who are non-Muslim. So he came and visited him and found Abdullah ibn Abi Umayyah and Abu Jahl in his company. Two from the mushrikeen at that time. Okay? They were there too. Came to see him. So the Prophet ﷺ said, "O uncle, say, there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah. Statement which will enable me to plead for you with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." So, but the two other men that were there, they will say to him, "Would you forsake the religion of your father, Abdul Muttalib?" And the Prophet ﷺ repeated the request. And whenever the Prophet ﷺ said to him to say, "La ilaha illallah," they said to him, "For real? Are you going to forsake the religion of your father, Abdul Muttalib?" Meaning, what the people are going to say about you? The final word of Abu Talib was about being that he's in the religion of his father, Abdul Muttalib. And he refused to say, "La ilaha illallah." And he died upon that. The Prophet ﷺ said, "But I shall continue to pray for you for your forgiveness as long as I am not prohibited to do so." And it was then that Allah, the Almighty, revealed the verse, "It is not proper for the Prophet and those who believe to ask Allah's forgiveness for the mushrikeen, even though they be of kin." Allah also revealed concerning Abu Talib, "Verily, O Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, verily you, O Muhammad, guide not whom you like, but Allah guides whom He wills, and He, subhanahu wa ta'ala, knows best those who are the guided ones." The ayah that we just mentioned. Ibn al-Musayyib huwa Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib, ahad al-ulama wal-fuqaha al-kibar min al-tabi'in, mata ba'da al-tis'in. Ibn al-Musayyib here is Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib, one of the great scholars and the fuqaha of al-tabi'in, kibar al-tabi'in. He died after the 90th year of the hijrah. Wal-Musayyib, his father, he was one of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He died in the khilafah of Uthman radiallahu anhu. المعنى الإجمالي للحديث, the general meaning, كان أبو طالب يحمي النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من أذى قومه وفعل من حمايته ما لم يفعله غيره من الناس. سبحان الله. That Abu Talib, the Sheikh Salah Fawzan says, Abu Talib, he protected and defended the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم against the harm of his people, Quraysh. No one from the people is known to do this. to protect the Prophet ﷺ from the harm of his people more than what Abu Talib did. فَكَانَ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ حَرِيصًا عَلَى هِدَايَتِهِ. The Prophet ﷺ, he was so concerned for him. He wants him to be guided. وَمِنْ ذَلِكَ أَنَّهُ عَادَهُ لَمَّا مَرِضَ فَجَاءَهُ وَهُ فِي سِيَاقِ الْمَوْتُ وَعَرَضَ عَلَيْهِ الْإِسْلَامِ لِيَكُونَ خَاتَمَةَ حَيَاتِهِ لِيَحْصُلَ لَهُ بِذَلِكَ الْفَوْزُ وَالسَّعَادَةِ وَطَلَبَ مِنْهُ أَنْ يَقُولَ كَلِمَةَ التَّوْحِيدِ. And the Prophet ﷺ continued to call his uncle to Islam until that the moment when signs of death appears on Abdul Muttalib, on Abi Talib, actually Abu Talib. The Prophet ﷺ came and visited him at that moment. And he invited him to Islam. So that it may be the last thing he says in his life. He may be the last thing enter into Islam and died upon Islam, and inshallah ta'ala, by Allah's, he will be from the successful and the happy ones in this life and in the hereafter. وَطَلَبَ مِنْهُ أَنْ يَقُولَ كَلِمَةَ التَّوْحِيدِ. And he asked from him to say كَلِمَةَ التَّوْحِيدِ, لَا إِلَهَ إِلَى اللَّهِ. لَكِنْ عَرَضَ عَلَيْهِ الْمُشْرِكُونَ أَنْ يَبْقَى عَلَى دِينِ أَبَائِهِ الَّذِي هُوَ الشِّرْكِ. But the mushrikeen at that time, who was there to visit him, they call him to shirk, to remain and to hold on to the shirk that he was upon, the religion of his forefathers. لِعِلْمِهِمْ بِمَا تَدُلُّ عَلِيهِ كَلِّ هَذِهِ الْكَلِمَةِ مِنْ نَفِّي الشِّرْكِ وَإِخْلَاصِ الْعِبَادِ اللَّهِ وَحْدَهِ. Because them, they know the true meanings of La ilaha illallah. That if a person said it, he's not upon shirk anymore. So they know. Shaykh al-Albani, rahmahu ta'ala, he says, amazingly, the mushrikeen of Quraysh, they know the meaning of La ilaha illallah better than so many people who claim Islam these days. They pray, fast, make hajj, but they don't know the meaning of La ilaha illallah. So if they really know its meaning, why they call upon others than Allah? But these people, these mushrikeen, they know exactly what it means. If somebody says La ilaha illallah, meaning that say there's only one true God. وعاد النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم طلب التلفظ بالشهادة من عمه وعاد المشركون المعارضة وصاروا سببا لصده عن الحق وموته عن الشرك. So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he continued to invite his uncle to Islam to say La ilaha illallah. But the mushrikeen, those two, they didn't give up, neither. They didn't give up. Whenever the Prophet ﷺ called him to Islam, they called him to shirk. So they become actually an obstacle in his way from accepting the haqq and the truth. From here, Shaykh Ubayd al-Jabiri, حفظه الله تعالى, يقول خطر مرافقة الأشرار وأن على المرء مرافقة الأخيار. Shaykh Ubayd al-Jabiri, at this point here, he says, from here you know the dangers of being around the evil companions. They turn you away from the haqq. And that a person should be around the best people, the good people. قال الشيخ صالح الفوزان حفظه الله وعند ذلك حلف النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ليطلبن له من الله المغفرة ما لم يمنع من ذلك. When he died and he refused to say لا إله إلا الله, and Abu Talib says that he's in the religion of his father, meaning upon shirk, then the Prophet ﷺ swears that he will continue to ask Allah and to pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his forgiveness, meaning that Allah forgive Abu Talib, as long as he is not forbidden from that, as long as he is not forbidden from, meaning from asking forgiveness for his uncle. فأنزل الله المنع من ذلك وبين له أن الهداية بيد الله يتفضل بها على من يشاء لأنه يعلم من يصلح لها من يصلح. And Allah سبحانه وتعالى revealed the ayah that forbade the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم from us and also the believers for asking forgiveness for those who died upon shirk or kufr. Those who do not die upon Islam, is not permissible to make dua for them of forgiveness. It's not permissible, and this is ijma'. There's no ikhtilaf with the ulama in this one. Because the hidayat al-tawfiq, the hidayah to guide, the guidance to success, it is only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He alone bestowed upon whom He will from His servants. And as for making dua for the non-Muslims, then the ulama, when you look at their answers, then there is three categories, if you want to say that, if I can say that. The dua for forgiveness, that is haram. You cannot make dua and ask Allah to forgive someone who died upon shirk, kufr. That's not permissible. Number two, الدُّعَاء لَهُمْ بِالْهِدَايَةِ. You ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide them. Because the Prophet said, Allahumma ahdi dawsan. Prophet ﷺ, he make dua. Okay? To ask Allah to guide them to al-Islam, that's permissible. And as for asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is the third one, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for them, for prosperity, shifa, when they sick and the like, the ulama, they say that it is permissible. And especially if there is a maslaha, if there is a benefit behind it. Okay? But it's not permissible if it takes a part of wala and bara. Muwalatuhum la. But you do it if there is a great concern, maslaha, and it is permissible. And they mention from the adilla is the hadith when an expedition, the Prophet said an expedition, and they passed by this tribe, and the leader of that tribe was stung by a poisonous, you know, scorpion or something. And then one of the companions made ruqya on that man, and the narration said that he was a kafir. Okay? Says because if they were Muslim, they would not refuse to assist the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam when they asked them for food. These people don't know, they refuse. Anyway, the ulama, they says that ruqya is a type of dua, of cure. And also, it is permissible to visit non-Muslims. Yes, you visit them. Okay? And you talk to them too about Islam too, especially if they are very sick. And you make dua for them at that moment, and you talk to them about Islam. So you combine all of this. Okay? You combine asking Allah to guide them and make dua for them and the like. Tayyib. Because the Prophet ﷺ, he visited that young man from the Jew. He was sick, and the Prophet ﷺ visited him. So the ulama, he says it is permissible to visit non-Muslims when they're sick. And also to help them, to aid them, especially your parents, if they are non-Muslims, even if they are non-Muslims. You know, you help them and aid them with their bills, for example. You help them with that which is permissible. If they're drinking alcohol or gambling, no, you don't help them with that. But you help them with their bills, pay their bills, help them in the winter, take them and give them some nice warm coats, nice warm shoes, you know, mashallah. You take care of their bills, especially if they're in need, they're poor. You know, you take them once a while for a dinner, for lunch, you walk with them in the park, you maintain, alhamdulillah, you help them. This is a good thing that a person do with their parents. مناسبة الحديث للباب أن الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يملك نفعا لمن هو أقرب الناس إليه مما يدل على بطلان التعلق به صلى الله عليه وسلم لجلب النفع أو دفع الضر وغيره من أباب أولى. That the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم does not possess or own any benefit even for the closest person to him. Even to the closest person to him. And this is a clear proof that it is not permissible, and therefore it is strictly forbidden for someone to attach themselves to the Prophet ﷺ, believing that the Prophet ﷺ can bring benefit or repel harms. And if the Prophet ﷺ is not able to do this, and this is the case, So those who are lesser than him in virtue and position, it's like even more so. That is not forbidden, that there is not permissible for people to turn to them. Because people, they turn to graves, oh, so-and-so help me, or oh, so-and-so get me this and give me that. This is not permissible, and that's shirk wal-iyadu billah. Naam, and there are people, they say, oh, this is the messenger of Allah, subhanAllah, he's not anybody. Yeah, he's not anybody. But not in this one. Now, in this one, is only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ما يستفاد من الحديث what is some of the benefits number one جواز عيادة المريض المشرك إذا رجي إسلامه it is permissible to visit the sick person and the Sheikh Fawzani says if you're hoping that he may enter into Islam number two مضرة أصحاب السوء وقرأنا الشرع الإنسان the evil of bad companions عياد بالله to be around bad companions brings a lot of evil Number three, أن معنى لا إله إلا الله ترك عبادة الأصنام والأولياء والصالحين وإفراد الله بالعبادة وأن المشركين يعرفون معناها that the meaning of لا إله إلا الله is to leave off all of idols or worshiping idols and righteous people and that you single out Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with worship and that the مشركين they knew their meaning, its meaning. Number four, أن من قال لا إله إلا الله عن علم ويقين واعتقاد دخل في الإسلام that whoever says لا إله إلا الله based on knowledge with certainty and he believe what that person say enters into Islam number five أن الأعمال بالخواتيم the actions will be judged according to the last things person die upon اللهم أحسن خواتيمنا Allah make our these the best the last these the best number 6 تحريم الاستغفار للمشركين وتحريم موالاتهم ومحبتهم it is strictly forbidden to ask forgiveness for the mushrikeen and it's strictly forbidden to take them allies and protect them and to love them for that the shirk as long as they are upon that shirk 7 بطلان التعلق على النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بالنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وغيره لجلب النفع او دفع الضر Likewise, this hadith and the other ayah and others than them, they strictly make it forbidden to attach oneself to the Prophet ﷺ and therefore asking the Prophet ﷺ for benefits or turning to the Prophet ﷺ in times of difficulty and hardship to asking him to repel that harm from you. Number 8, الرد على من زعم إسلام أبي طالب. This hadith also is a clear refutation against those who they say that Abu Talib was a Muslim actually. Those who say Abu Talib is a Muslim, this hadith is a refutation against them. Number 9, and the last point, مَدَرَّةُ تَقْلِيدِ الْآبَاءِ وَالْأَكَابِرِ بِحَيْثُ يُجْعَلُ قَوْلُهُمْ حُجَّةً يُرْجَعُ إِلَيْهَا عِنْدَ التَّنَازُعِ Another evil is imitating the forefathers and those people who have a great position in the community. Since the people, they will look at those people who have a great rank in the their communities, they look at them as example, and they turn the affairs to them, instead to turn it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As we were learning yesterday, from Al-Usul al-Sitta, that we always turn matters to the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In this case, the Prophet ﷺ and Abu Talib, he loved the Prophet ﷺ. And he knows the Prophet ﷺ that he wants good for him. But that arrogance and that pride of, come on, what the people, as Sheikh Ubaid and others, they say, Abu Talib was concerned what the people may say about him, even after he died. SubhanAllah. Even after he died, he don't want the people to talk about him. Oh, he forsake the religion of his fathers. And he said that. He says, لَوْلَ الْمَلَامَ Because he have a lines of poetry. He says, has it not been for the fact that people be talking about me, I will really accept Islam. SubhanAllah. He says, so therefore, a person should not pay attention to these things. But rather, you accept the haqq. You accept the haqq. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide those whom he knows they deserve to be guided to Islam. May Allah open their hearts into Islam, and may Allah keep us firm upon Islam and cause us to die upon it. Wa sallallahu wa sallam ala Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallama tasliman. We come to an end of this chapter, alhamdulillah.